I'm Joy Manning, editor of Edible Philly. Welcome to Local Mouthful. We're here to talk shop with obsessed home cooks everywhere. Marisa's maternity leave continues, so today I'm with guest host Jackie Botto, a photographer, food stylist, and all-star Instagrammer. Thank you for joining me, Jackie.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for having me.
This week, we're going to be talking about eggplant, cold noodle bowls, and cooking for and with kids. But first, let's talk about something we read in the food news this week. Jackie, did you see that Atlantic article on the apple versus probiotic supplements?
Yes, I did. And I was really excited because, you know, I'm into probiotics and all that healthy nutrition. But I feel like when I read the article, it was kind of like, yes, I knew this already.
Obviously, we'll have a link to the article in today's show notes, but let me just give you a high level, listeners who have not read it yet, a high level, like, basically this article said that an apple is as good as a probiotic supplement, or perhaps better, which was a little bit surprising to me.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, probiotics are not cheap, and obviously we know we can get beneficial bacteria from fermented foods, but this article is saying that you can perhaps get as many beneficial bacteria from produce.
Okay. I feel like fresh produce is bigger than the sum of its parts, or right, better for you than the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the science now is making more sense, because they were saying that they can actually grow and find more bacteria, mm-hmm, than they knew about before.
The thing that really blew me away in this article, though, was the idea that 90% of the bacteria are in the apple's core, which we don't even eat.
Did you watch him eating the apple the other way? He was saying that people don't eat the core because it's tough, but
right,
he said that if you ate the apple from top to bottom, that it really doesn't make a difference. And there was a video of him eating the apple.
I didn't watch the video, but I need to do that because I don't want to be missing out on, you know, primo free probiotics.
It was a little scary. I don't know if I'm going to be eating my apple that way.
What was scary about it?
Just he consumed the entire apple.
Seeds, core, and all.
Seeds, core, and all. He took a bite from the bottom and then kind of showed you what it looked like.
Uh-huh.
And then continued to just consume the apple completely till there was nothing left.
Well, I'm obviously going to watch that. But what I was thinking is maybe if I like diced the apple super fine or something, or like put it in a smoothie.
Right. And then you'd have it all.
Right. I don't know. I'm going to try, personally.
I think you look like you're not going to try.
Oh, you think you might try?
No, I think it's worth it. But I think also not just apples specifically, but just eating, think a wide variety of produce,
yes,
is the goal.
Yes. I mean, that same, it always comes down to that same old wisdom of a varied whole foods based diet, which,
yes,
is definitely not as sensational as like eating an apple core, but is the basic advice. And I definitely, it's the thing that I try to do in my everyday diet.
I agree.
So let's talk about some other plant-based whole foods things that we're eating for dinner. You brought up the idea of eggplant, and you said,
yes,
that even in these hot growth, you're here in the Philadelphia area with me,
yes,
so we're living through
the
same
sweating it.
Gross hot weather.
Yep.
But you said you'll turn your oven on for eggplant.
Yes, I love eggplant, and poor eggplant is so abundant, like in the end of the summer, but it needs heat. You can't eat raw eggplant. So yeah, I think a lot of people don't like eggplant because they haven't had it cooked well, because it can be that like awful, like spongy, like squidgy texture.
Mm-hmm.
So when I make it, I always roast it.
Mm-hmm.
And I roast it until it's like falling apart and super soft with lots of olive oil and salt.
Just cut up into cubes or slices?
Usually I'll just cut it up into like 1-inch cubes, maybe, mm-hmm, a little smaller, and I put it on a baking sheet in one layer, and then it gets nice caramelized outside.
What temperature?
Probably 400, I would
say.
And
ballpark, how long does it take to be roasted to your liking?
I'm going to say like 20 minutes, but mm-hmm, I'm always flipping and checking.
Right.
Continuously.
Right,
so.
Right. And then what do you do with your roasted eggplant cubes when they're finished?
I I could just stand there and eat them with a fork. That's mm-hmm. an option. But usually I'll put them on pasta. My husband and I really like the combination with, mint and, chili flakes.
That sounds great.
Spicy, minty, and the eggplant just brings it all together really well. And I also really like it on top of pumice. So usually if I make it during the day, it'll be a pasta dish at night, and then the leftovers will go in the refrigerator, and then they can go in hummus.
That's so interesting you say that. I had an eggplant last week that I got at the farmer's market, and I roasted it, but I roasted it whole because I wanted to make baba ganoush, which is, you know, a close cousin of hummus.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you put the roasted cubes on top of hummus, it's almost like two good, two great tastes that taste great together. Yeah, I like that. Anything else? Is there anything else you do with? I have a question about the cubes again.
Yeah.
Do you peel it?
No.
Do you salt it, or have you read about that technique where a lot of people will salt eggplant ahead of time to draw out excess liquid and supposedly the bitterness? Do you do that?
I don't do that because in general I'm pretty lazy when it comes to cooking. So I find when I cook it long enough and it's just like soft and falling apart, I don't find it to be bitter at all.
You can't be lazy. I drool over your Instagram every day. Is that all work, or is every picture you post on Instagram something that you're doing for work?
No.
But then you are not lazy.
I think, maybe lazy is the wrong word. Maybe that's the wrong word, but no, I've never tried. The salting technique.
I have tried it. I don't think it makes that big of a difference, but some people really swear by it.
Yeah.
Do you have any other eggplant dishes you want to mention?
I did want to ask you about when you make your baba ganoush, mm-hmm. do you ever char the skin of the eggplant?
Well, you know, I'm typically doing it in like, you know, under my broiler or in the toaster oven. And so some of the skin does get blackened, but of course I remove the skin.
Yes.
I mean, you just scoop the eggplant out of the skin at that point. But you know what I add to give it that charred quality? What? Liquid smoke.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big fan of liquid smoke.
I had it and I used a bottle and I haven't replaced it since. But that's a good idea for the
eggplant.
I'm
really a big lover of like smoky taste though. Mm-hmm. So for me, and I hate grilling.
You hate grilling?
Yeah, I don't even have a grill. I don't like grilling. I don't want to be... It might have to do with the fact that I have like only a concrete square as a backyard. Maybe if I had a real backyard, I would be more into grilling, but I don't think so. Like the gas grill, first of all, I don't see how that's any different from my broiler. And a charcoal grill. Oh my goodness.
Charcoal. Right now we only have a charcoal grill. We have like a little Weber and it's just it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And as I said before, I'm pretty lazy and I don't want to have to deal with it. I like the idea of a gas grill simply for the function of being outside so that I don't have to be heating up the house.
Yes, that's a good point. That is a really good point. Another thing I love to do with eggplant is bread them, like cut slices and, you know, use the classic breading method, flour, egg, breadcrumbs, and then fry them. And that's the traditional beginning of eggplant parmesan, but I actually just like the fried slices.
Mm, how do you eat them? Just by themselves?
I just eat them.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good snack.
Yeah. Well, as a snack or as part of like a dinner, I do a lot of dinners, especially in the summer where it's like a little of this, a little of that. And so you can just like put them on a plate and cut them up and eat them as almost like, let's call them eggplant cutlets.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Some people love like the micro thin fried eggplant slices. I like something a little thicker where you can actually taste the eggplant.
Yeah.
What about eggplant varieties? You know, you're seeing all kinds of eggplant.
Yeah.
Little fairy tale eggplant, white eggplant, Italian stripy eggplant. Do you experiment with different varieties?
Sure. I mean, in general, I'm either using like the big ones or like the longer Japanese eggplants.
Oh, I like those too. Yeah.
So we use them in like stir fries a lot. Mm-hmm. And they're getting cut more in rounds instead of cubes.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't seen the little white ones.
Yeah. I go to the Head House Market. I've seen them there. I've seen them at Clark Park. Keep your eyes peeled at the market.
Do they taste different? Do they have a different flavor?
I think they all have a slightly different taste. I think they mostly are denser than the traditional purple Italian eggplant that you see at the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they have less moisture content and are meatier almost.
Okay.
But Yeah, this is the time of year for it.
It is. That's why I always laugh because it's. I love eggplant, but they need to be cooked. And it's not the time.
It's true. It's true. Well, I was also hoping that you would tell me how you make another dinner that maybe doesn't need so much oven time or any oven time. So do you want to tell me how you've been making your Asian-inspired cold noodle bowl?
Sure. I think I'm going to talk about one in particular, and it's a Vietnamese vermicelli bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I had one of these, my mother-in-law took me to Vietnam restaurant in Chinatown.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Have you been there?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, so that was the first experience I had in a Vietnamese restaurant and having one of these noodle bowls. And I'm just blown away with all the variation of flavors and the textures and everything. There's so much going on.
Can you describe that first one that you ate for me?
Sure. I think I probably got the house one. So it's in a giant bowl and it's the base of it is a vermicelli rice noodle. So they're mm-hmm. really thin rice noodles, really long. And then you've got layers of like pickled vegetables, carrots, daikon radish. There's lots of herbs on the top. There's probably like Thai basil and mint.
The herbs, for me, that's like what Vietnamese food is all about.
Yep. And then again, in the house special, I think you get like all the meat. So there's like shrimp and chicken and the... I think they're like a pork meatball kind of thing and maybe like a spring roll on top as well that's like cut up. And then it comes with this sauce and I don't know how to pronounce it. I think it's Nok Cham.
Mm-hmm.
And the sauce has, it's got fish sauce and like chilies in it and you just pour that over everything and then just mix it all together. So many flavors, and it's great in the summertime when you don't want to cook.
Right, right.
Or no heat, I should say.
Yes.
So, in the past couple of weeks, I decided that I was just going to try to make it myself. And thanks to the internet, I got the only thing I really needed the recipe for was the sauce, the Nok Cham that goes on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So rice, I feel like the vermicelli rice noodles you can get like anywhere. You don't even have to go to a specialty food store. And they're great because, they don't even need to be cooked for that long. Like you boil the water and kind of pour it over top and they just sit and cook in the water.
Right.
So the other thing I really like about this, there's so many components that if you don't have everything, you don't need everything. Like mm-hmm. Most of the time we don't even eat it with a protein. We're just eating like the noodles and the pickled vegetables and the herbs.
And where did you consult any source for a recipe for the sauce?
I want to say Walks of Life. That's one of my favorite Asian recipe resources.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was definitely from there, but it is.
There's certainly many recipes for it out there.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of Andrea Nguyen's new book, Vietnamese Food Any Day, and there's definitely a great recipe in that book.
Mm-hmm.
Walks of Life, did you say?
Walks of Life. Okay. They are great.
I think it's like
a family and they all cook and they all contribute and the photography is wonderful. One of the things that I really like is that they have a couple of postings that show you the different specialty Asian ingredients. I don't know about you, when I go to like an Asian food market, I'm overwhelmed because I don't know what
sometimes
half of the things are. So they kind of spell things out for you and give you brands to look for, I think, which is helpful.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take that under advisement because I'm looking for all of the no-cook dinners that I can make. I actually watched a cold noodle dish being made on Bon Appetit's YouTube mm-hmm. channel, and it was cold buckwheat noodles with soy sauce and kimchi and some other garnishes, but the last thing they put on it was just like scoops of crushed ice to keep the dish cold.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I really want to eat that.
Yeah.
And probably will for the coming weeks because Last year it was hot into October, if you remember.
Oh my gosh. Ugh. Yes, I do.
So let's talk about a different challenge in life. A challenge that does not pass with the seasons.
Nope.
For you anyway. And that's cooking with your kids and cooking for your kids.
Yes.
I was thinking this might be a great segment for Marisa to listen to while she's on maternity leave and adjusting to life as a mom.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't have twins. I have 1 4-year-old boy, and because I love food so much and I love cooking, I was so excited to like have a kid and share this love with them. Mm-hmm. And of course, I've read a lot of books and I read a lot of articles about, you know, how to avoid the infamous picky eater. And it just seems like it might not be avoidable, and that's okay, I think, is what I'm learning. So up until he was 2, I gave him, he ate and tried everything that I put in front of him. He was eating asparagus and fennel and salmon and beets and just all the stuff. And then all of a sudden at 2, it just stopped. And I think for him, at least, it's a lot of control, which I can understand. They don't have too much control when they're toddlers. And so it's been a bit of a challenge since then. And I think the best thing to do in that scenario, he likes shopping with me. So we get to pick things out that he would like to try, mm-hmm. and just keep exposing him to new things and just relentlessly like introducing new foods. And he doesn't have to like it, but he's got to try it. So I think that's a good thing to just.
You said that you read a lot of advice and stuff.
Yeah.
Before it became an issue for you. What is the conventional wisdom on this?
I don't know if there's conventional wisdom. I read lots of different things about, you know, baby-led weaning, where they're just kind of like picking and choosing. And I read, I think it's something about like how French kids eat or something, because mm-hmm. they notoriously eat very well. So I don't.
Well, as a non-parent, can I tell you what I have perceived as being the conventional wisdom? That you just make, you don't make special food for your kids. You mm-hmm. serve what you serve, and they eat it or they don't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the advice out there?
I think that's good advice. And I think it gets a little stressful when they don't eat. And I think now that I've been going through it, it's hard because you want your kid to just eat some food, mm-hmm. And time. Like, it's really annoying to like make a bunch of different vegetables and then they don't eat any of it.
Right, right.
Obviously my husband and I are eating it, but I can see how, it just kind of like wears you down after a while. So you just fall into this trap of just feeding them what you know they're going
to
eat.
What are the things that your son is happy to eat?
Things that he's happy to eat, and it varies. Peanut butter and jelly, like always. He'll always eat that. Always eat berries, strawberries. He will eat a pint of strawberries in a sitting. Cheese, loves all the cheese. And like really like stinky cheese too.
That's funny.
It's not just like a flavor thing. It's definitely just like trying new things. He also eats, I make him pesto a lot, and it's mm-hmm. got a ton of garlic, and it's got spinach or kale in it, and he will eat that with a spoon. Hmm. So it's kind of hit or miss. He also, my mom makes him liverwurst sandwiches.
Okay.
And he loves that.
That sounds healthy.
Right. So it's not that he's not eating well, it's just that it's hard to get him to just keep trying new things. Like
right.
we had an argument about a carrot the other day, and I cooked it with like butter and cinnamon, and he just wouldn't try it.
At 4 now, I'm looking back, is there anything that you think you should have done differently?
I don't think so.
You think they just...
Maybe, yeah, I think it's definitely... it's definitely that age. And like I said, I think it's the control. So I think the only thing I would have told myself is to just not stress out about it so much. And like you said, you put down his food and that's what he's eating.
That's what I perceive as being conventional wisdom. So I do not parent, so I really don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what we do in general, and that's what I'm sticking with. And I think the struggle is just not to worry. Like, if he doesn't eat anything, it'll be okay.
Right. When I've talked to parents about this in the past, it feels to me like there's a conflict between knowing what you quote unquote should be doing and the inescapable emotions of being a parent, where like,
sure,
maybe on a certain level you realize your child will not starve to death, but it's like very emotionally uncomfortable to see your child not eat dinner.
Yes, I think so. And so, again, because I love food so much, and like growing up, I was never a picky eater. I ate everything. And it's just kind of like, why? Why won't you just eat the food? Just try the food.
Well, if it makes you feel any better at all, I was a hellaciously picky eater.
Oh, no.
I ate basically just butter and noodles until I was like 18.
And you eat everything now.
Now I eat everything.
So
yeah.
I think we just need to not worry about it.
People who knew me as a child are like, how did this even happen? But, you know, even though I don't parent, I am with my niece who's 5 and a half, mm-hmm. and I do get very frustrated with her demands.
Yeah, and that's the tricky part, too. You can't let them demand what they're going to
She
eat.
Doesn't like
– You've got to give even, them choices, but
– Even pizza is out now because doesn't like the tomato sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, she told me one time she doesn't like vegetables, which isn't even true, but like, come on.
That's what Ridley, he doesn't know the distinction of between fruits and vegetables yet, and he says that he doesn't like vegetables, and it's like, no, that's not true at all. But,
and then anything that's, this was before she stopped liking pizza, but last summer when she was still liking pizza, she actually was in a phase where she loved pepperoni pizza, even though in her little mind, anything that was spicy, she hated.
Uh-huh.
So we got pizza from this. We were on vacation at the beach and we got pizza from someplace and a pepperoni pizza at her request.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dan says, oh, this pepperoni's a little spicy.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The power of suggestion. That's no all
more,
you need.
No more pizza. She would not take another bite because it's spicy.
It's spicy. Yeah.
So that drives me up a wall. I would hate that.
Yeah, and again, just because I love food so much and I love cooking, I have realized I almost need to like dumb down our own meals because I can't make noodle bowls with like herbs and stuff for everybody. But what I do is end up deconstructing that. So like he'll get his little bowl of like vermicelli and he's got his little like chopsticks and stuff. But he's not eating like all the nutritious stuff that goes along with it. But
yeah. Huh. Well, I'm sure that if, as Maurice's kids start eating, I'm sure she has a lot of people she can turn to for advice
and
comfort.
She's going to be great. She'll be great.
And when the kids of food people end up being picky eaters, I'm like, this kid doesn't even know how good they have it. Like, they have no idea how lucky they are. And they're just taking it for granted and throwing it away.
Yeah. And I make him like mac and cheese. I'll make him really good mac and cheese with like the good cheese. And like, it's, you know, it's not Kraft from a box. And he'll go to the supermarket. He won't eat that. And he'll go to the supermarket and see the box stuff. And it's like, oh.
Well, that is not
cool.
That's cold.
In the face. Yep.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something that we love, shall we?
Sure.
So you wanted to talk about Trader Joe's prepared sauces. So tell us some of your favorites.
Sure. I mean, I love Trader Joe's in general, and anytime I see a new product, I'm always just going to try it. So this summer I found two different condiment sauces and they taste wildly different, but they both happen to be originate in like a Middle Eastern kind of cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
So the first is an amba mango sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried this? Have you seen it?
I haven't tried it, but I have made amba sauce from pickled mangoes.
Okay.
And I think you basically just puree the pickled mangoes for the sauce.
I I should say, too, that both of these sauces are probably super easy to make. But just because I saw them and tried them, I'm hooked. But the amma sauce...
Well, you know, the hard part is finding the pickled mangoes.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Could you pickle them yourself?
I don't know. Probably.
It's just another step.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the amba sauce is probably more difficult to recreate because it says that it's a fermented mango sauce. And then it's got paprika and garlic and turmeric in it mm-hmm. as well. So yeah, it's savory.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and it comes in like a little pouch. So it's great to just like pour over things.
And what do you do with it?
So I feel like it was an Ottolenghi recipe from Plenty that I saw, and it was soba noodles and eggplant, roasted eggplant, and
your fave.
I know, and cucumbers, and then it had a bunch of fresh mango in it, mm-hmm. and like other herbs and mint and cilantro. And I saw that, and I'm like, ooh, I'm just going to use this sauce in lieu of the fresh mangoes, and it was phenomenal.
That sounds great.
But then you can also put it like on falafel or on vegetables. I like to do roasted cauliflower. And yeah, put that on the cauliflower.
That sounds like a very easy way to upgrade something simple like that.
Exactly. And it might be good for kids too because it's a bright color and it's fun. And
does your son like it?
He does not. He did try it. I know, right? He did try it. We tried dipping, but... yeah. Did I say falafel? It's great on
yes,
falafel.
That's,
pitas.
I think how, yeah. if most people have had it, they've probably had it at a falafel shop.
Sure. Yeah. So
what else?
The second one, again, is Middle Eastern flavors. I think it's pronounced zug. Is that how it's
I say shug, but okay. That's not right. If you listen okay. to an Israeli person say it, you'll hear them
they've
say it the right
some,
way.
Like, accent. Yeah. It's Z-H-O-U-G. But, that is, theirs is very spicy.
It's always very spicy.
Yes, very, very spicy. Cilantro, jalapenos, chili, garlic, cardamom, and cumin. And I think the cardamom is kind of that, like, surprise element. Mm-hmm. It's very spicy. It's very herby. It's great. So again, you can put it on eggplant. I make like little hummus bowls with the eggplant and then
you're
put that
making
on
me wish that I had an eggplant at home right. to roast for lunch, but I'm out.
So it's great with eggplant. Again, on falafel, and we made lamb skewers. Mm. So it was great with the lamb. So it's almost like a chimichurri kind of.
Yeah.
And
that
if it's too
great.
Spicy, you can just add some more. Olive oil or something and right. thin it out.
Right. You know, I don't shop at Trader Joe's all that much because mm-hmm. it's not that convenient for me. Mm-hmm. But I was recently at dinner at my sister's and her husband had picked up a container of this garlic sauce.
Oh, okay.
And when I tasted it, I was like, I think it's just labeled garlic sauce, but mm-hmm. I was like, this is Toum, which is T-O-U-M. That's like a Lebanese garlic sauce that is just a lot of garlic pureed with oil. It's almost egg-free garlic mayonnaise. It's hard to make. I've tried to make it a bunch of times. There's mm-hmm. some recipes out there, but I have had it, and it's fluffy. It's really intensely garlicky, mm-hmm. and even though it's obviously Toum. That's what it is, but it's called mm-hmm. garlic sauce, and also sort of Middle Eastern. So I guess Trader Joe's is leaning hard.
Yeah, they're doing a good job though.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you heard, but there's supposedly a new one coming to Center City.
Oh, where is that going to be?
Really near Reading Terminal Market, actually.
Oh,
I can't remember
that
the exact.
Works in my favor.
I can't remember the exact building, but that one, you probably go to the one in like Jenkintown?
I do. Yes.
Yeah. That's a nice one. But the one in Center City, currently, it's like Center City West near in the Rittenhouse
yes,
area.
Yes, I have
like,
been there.
It's miserable.
Madness. It's madness.
And I don't know why I'm pretending like the new one is going to be any less that right. way, but I'm going to pretend that.
At least there will be two to divert the crowd. Yeah.
So maybe I'll have more access to Trader Joe's sauces and other shortcuts. You know, Marisa is like every other episode telling me about some new Trader Joe's thing that she loves. It's kind of a theme of our show. But Well, thank you so much for joining me, Jackie. Yeah, it's been a huge pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. This was fun.
And that's about it for this week's episode of Local Mouthful.
Our thanks go out to Dan Call for editing the show, to Saul Rosenbaum for designing our logo, and to Raina Rose for providing the music. And thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcasting app. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Local Mouthful. Sign up for our newsletter, catch up on past episodes, and check out our show notes at localmouthful.com. Until next time, happy eating.